Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus this morning. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 this morning. Exodus chapter 12. Let's read verses 1, 2, and 3. Exodus chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Let's bow for prayer. O God, we pray that you would teach us from your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. In the previous chapter, God told Moses that there will be one last plague to come. And via this plague, Israel will leave Egypt. In chapter 11, we are given the overall elements of this last plague. It will definitely be the last. It will involve, unfortunately, the death of every firstborn. But God will take care of his people. And the Egyptians will, in a literal sense, throw you out. Here in chapter 12, we see God not only prepares his people for departure, he tells them how to pack for departure. Prepared, packed, and ready to go. That's the title of my sermon this morning. Prepared, packed, and ready to go. Are you? Are you prepared, packed, and ready to go? In light of eternity, is your destiny heaven this morning? Are you in a right standing before God, prepared, packed, and ready to go? We have before us here in Exodus chapter 12 what will become the Jewish Passover. This will be the first of seven Jewish feasts that God gives to Israel to practice on a yearly basis. And we will see within this Passover meal the person and work of Jesus Christ foretold. For 1 Corinthians 5:7 teaches us, For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. We see here first and foremost in verses 1 to 5 of Exodus chapter 12, a lamb is to be chosen for this Passover meal. So God is preparing his people to leave Egypt. So this chapter deals with God preparing his people to move on into the next chapter. A lamb is chosen for this Passover meal. And verses 1 to 5 give us some insight concerning the choosing of this lamb. I'd like for us to note first and foremost under this main heading that a lamb was selected for sacrifice. It had to be a lamb of quality. And the Bible teaches us here in the third verse, that it was chosen on the 10th day of the first month of the year. The Jewish people had two calendars, one religious, the other civil. And this Passover meal, this Passover festival, would mark the beginning of their religious year. And the death of the lamb was to mark a new beginning for Israel spiritually. And my friend, this morning, just like the lamb was selected as the Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus was selected to be the only remedy for man's sin. The Bible teaches us in 1 Peter chapter 1, please. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. Verse 18 reads, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily or truly was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in his last days for you." So just like a lamb was selected to become the Passover lamb, Jesus Christ was selected to be and become the only remedy for man's sin. And the Bible teaches us there in those verses that the lamb was selected, the lamb was set apart, prepared until the 14th day. So they were to select a lamb on day number 10, and they were to monitor the lamb for quality until day number 14. So from the 10th to the 14th day, they watched the lamb to make sure it was meet, it would meet the standard. The lamb selected was to be of a high standard. Note there in verses 4 and 5, please. It reads, "And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make you count for the lamb." Note verse 15, concerning the quality of the lamb selected. "The lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats." So we see here in verse number 5 concerning the selection of this lamb for sacrifice, it was to be of a high standard. And the lamb was set aside, prepared until the 14th day. From day 10 to day 14, they would examine the lamb, monitor the lamb, watch the lamb, and make sure this lamb was qualified to become that sacrificial lamb. And in the same way, Jesus Christ was set aside and prepared to die for our sins. From the moment he was born into the world, he was destined to die for the sins of humanity. That's why John the Baptist said in John 1:29, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The Lamb of God, the only Lamb of God. Not one of many lambs, the only Lamb of God that qualifies to take away the sin of the world. And this lamb that was selected here amongst the Hebrews was to be a lamb of high quality. A male, it was to be a male, it was to be without blemish, the Bible teaches us. And it was to be no older than 1 year. a young lamb. And this pictures for us the fact that the clean, the perfect, can only remedy the unclean. Therefore, we see in Jesus Christ God's Passover lamb qualified to pay for the sins of all humanity because he alone is without sin, the Bible teaches us. For 1 Peter 2:22 reads, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." So from day 10 to day 14, the lamb was inspected. They watched the lamb to make sure it met the standard. And my friend, in the same way, our Lord Jesus was watched and tested during his earthly ministry. And he proved beyond doubt that he was and is the eternal Son of God. And that's why that centurion there in Matthew 26:54 cried out, "Truly, this was the Son of God." No doubt that centurion watched and observed God the Son as he spoke and as he ministered and ultimately as he died, and he said, "Truly, this is the Son of God. This is God manifest in the flesh." And on that day, that Roman centurion placed his faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. A lamb was selected for sacrifice, according to the third verse. It had to be at a standard. And we have already read the third and fourth verse where it teaches us that each home needed a lamb that could feed the whole family. So not only was there an issue of quality control, but also quantity control. The lamb needed to be large enough to provide for the needs of the whole family. In fact, if the lamb was too much for the family, then that lamb could be shared with another family. There was not to be any lack. The goal was to make sure that nobody went without, and that no portion of the lamb was wasted. And just like provision was made for all to partake of this Passover lamb, God has made provision for all to be saved from sin. God has made provision for all to experience God's salvation. My friend, the Bible teaches us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lamb of God died for the sins of the whole world, and that blood avails for you, that blood avails for me. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ became the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. What a wonderful message of hope that provides for all humanity. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." Sounds familiar? God's grace is available for all men, not just an elected few. This evil teaching is found predominantly within Protestant churches today, that God only chooses some to respond to the gospel. Only some, the elect. But the rest cannot respond. So therefore they are damned to an eternal hellfire. What God is this, I ask? It's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible teaches us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. My friend, God has not destined you to hell. God has not destined you to heaven. The Lamb has been given. The Lamb has been slain. The blood has been shed. And whosoever will may come and partake. And partake of the Lamb. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is available to all. And within each home, there had to be enough lamb for the whole family. And God has provided salvation for all, not just for a select few. That's heresy. That's not my God. My God loves the whole world. My God loves the whole world. The lamb selected. And then we move on in verses 6 and 7. We read of the fact that not only was that lamb selected, quality was an issue. It had to be of a standard. But also quantity was an issue. That lamb had to be large enough to meet the needs of the whole family. There had to be enough lamb meal for the whole family. And now we move on to verses 6 and 7. Now bear in mind, this is all in preparing God's people to leave Egypt and make their way out of Egypt towards the promised land. A lamb is selected, and here in verses 6 and 7, the lamb is slain. The lamb is killed for this Passover meal. Note there in verses 6 and 7, please, it reads, "And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month." And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel, in other words, all at the same time, shall kill it. Kill what? Kill the lamb for their home, for their family. Kill it when? In the evening. And then what happens next? Look at verse 7. "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it." So verses 1 to 5 deal with the issue of the selection of the lamb. In verses 6 and 7 we have the lamb slain. It was appointed to be killed at a certain time. At the end of verse 6 it was to be killed in the evening. Everybody was to kill their lamb, their Passover meal, in the evening. By evening it would have meant as the sun went down. Twilight, in other words, where there was just enough light to see what you were doing. The Lord Jesus at times made statements like this: "It is not my time. It is not my time." But his time finally came, in which he was betrayed, arrested, tried, and crucified. Our Lord's coming was in God's perfect timing. In the fullness of time, Galatians 4:4 teaches us. Jesus Christ came at the exact time in human history that God the Father ordained from eternity past. The timing was perfect. And this is illustrated by the fact that all of Israel, in the selection of this lamb, were told that you will slay the lamb in the evening. We will slay our lamb at the same time. My friend, may I remind you that your time will come. God's timing is always perfect. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment, the Bible teaches us. God works in accordance to his timetable. And it was appointed a time to kill the Passover lamb. And then note then verse number 7, as we have read, upon slaying or killing the lamb, the spotless lamb, the lamb without blemish, the male lamb without blemish, the blood of that lamb was taken, and the Bible teaches us it was applied to the doorposts of a given home. Whose door? The one door of every willing Hebrew family. All common homes in the biblical setting only had one main door. Makes sense. One main door. Not many doors, one main door. And the blood was to be applied on the top posts and the side posts. What blood? The blood from that lamb that each family slew. And this reminds us of the fact, my friend, that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father except by me. There is only one way to heaven, not many ways to heaven. It only comes in and through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ that can cleanse you and I from sin. It's not a matter of works and faith, it's faith alone. It's faith in the blood of the Lamb. And God told his people the blood is to be taken from that slain lamb, that lamb without blemish, and it's to be applied upon the doorposts of your home. God made it very clear that the blood needed to be physically applied. They shall take of the blood, the Bible reads in verse 7. God made it very clear the blood needed to be physically applied. And in the same way, my friend, we need to apply the blood of Jesus Christ to the doorposts of our lives. How do we do that? By faith and by faith alone. My friend, if we want deliverance from sin, if we want to enjoy God's forgiveness, we need the blood of the Lamb applied to our lives. For Colossians chapter 1 verse 20 tells us of the fact that it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ there can be forgiveness from sin. There had to be death in order for blood to be supplied. Does that make sense? No death, no blood. So the lamb was slain, then the blood was taken from the slain lamb, and that blood was applied on the doorposts of each Hebrew home. There had to be a death for blood to be supplied. Jesus Christ was willing to die in order to provide his precious blood as an atonement for man's sin. For Romans 5:8 teaches us, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ allowed his blood to be shed. And just like each Hebrew home had to apply that blood to their front doorposts, you and I, if we are to enjoy God's forgiveness, we need to apply the blood of Christ to our lives by faith and by faith alone. There needs to be application. So once that blood was applied to the doorpost, we read on from verses 8 to 11. The lamb was then cooked and eaten by each family. Each family that applied the blood to their home doorposts. Note then verses 8 to 11, please. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, or sodden, or soaked in water, but roast with fire, his head, with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. In other words, everything to be roasted. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn with fire. Then note verse 11. And thus shall she eat it. Thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So once the blood was applied, the lamb was then cooked. It was to be roasted. It was not to be eaten raw. It was not to be soaked in water. It was to be roasted. And it was to be eaten at night. And note there, the Bible teaches us there in verse number 8 that it was to be eaten with unleavened bread. Unleavened bread. Bread in the scriptures is often associated with a body. Unleavened bread. In other words, bread without yeast. Leaven is a picture predominantly in the scriptures of sin. Not always, but 99% of the times you'll find the word leaven in the scriptures is used in a negative sense. And this Passover lamb was to be roasted and eaten with unleavened bread. Picturing for us that the body of Jesus Christ qualified to pay for our sins because he was without sin. Remember, that lamb had to be without blemish. It had to meet a standard. And the Lord Jesus met the standard in order to provide forgiveness because he was without sin and he was willing to become sin for us. As Hebrews 4:15 reads, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Yet without sin. The Bible teaches us in Matthew 5:8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." See, it's uncleanness that separates man from God. And only the blood of Jesus Christ has the power to cleanse you and I from our sin. And this Passover meal was to be eaten, roasted, and eaten with unleavened bread, but also note there in verse number 8, it tells us also with bitter herbs. Herbs are bitter to eat, but they always have a sweet fragrance. And this communicates to us the bitter experience of the cross. That bitter experience of the cross. The Lord Jesus endured the cross in order to provide the sweetness of salvation for all mankind.
the author and finisher of our faith, who endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God the Father. This is why our Lord sweated great drops of blood. And he prayed, Father, take this cup from me. He was betrayed. He was physically tortured. He experienced unjustness. He was humiliated. He was rejected. He was mocked. He carried his own cross. He was denied by Simon Peter and the rest of his disciples, scattered except for John the Apostle. He was identified with two guilty sinners that deserved to die. The ultimate bitter experience was his when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And this Passover meal was to be eaten with unleavened bread, picturing for us the Lamb of God is without sin and he qualifies to pay for our sin. This Passover lamb was to be also eaten with bitter herbs, that bitter sweet, that bitterness in taste, but sweetness in fragrance. That's why the Lord Jesus endured the cross, for the joy that was set before him. And was willing to have God the Father turn his back on God the Son as he bore the sins of all humanity upon himself. Our Lord Jesus knew full well that his precious blood would provide cleansing for sinful man. And this is the joy that was set before him. And that's why he endured the cross. As we read in verses 9 and 10, God told the Hebrews that they were not to eat the lamb raw, nor was the lamb to be soaked in water, but it was to be roasted, eaten completely. Nothing was to be left uneaten. If anything was left over, it was to be burnt up. It all had to be consumed. My friend, not only was the blood of Jesus Christ shed for our sins, but also his body was fully broken and consumed on the cross for our sins. Jesus Christ sacrificed his blood and his body fully for our sins. And as it reads there in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, please. 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. It reads, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. It's the death of Jesus Christ. It's the shedding of his blood. It was the breaking up of his body that provides healing from sin, eternal life for whosoever will may come. And note there that the meal was to be consumed fully, and if anything was left over, it was to be burnt up before the next day. But note there, in verse number 11 once again, that they were to eat this meal dressed, ready to leave Egypt immediately. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your gowns all tucked in, belted up, ready to move quickly, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat it in haste. You will eat it with diligently. This well illustrates for us the immediate and the instant deliverance from sin, from sin's penalty, sin's power, when men, women, and children place their faith in Jesus Christ as personal Savior. As it reads there in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, for Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. So God's people were to eat this Passover meal, dressed and ready to leave Egypt. They were to eat with haste, the Bible teaches us. They were to eat with diligence. It is the Lord's Passover. They were to have their garments all tucked in. They were to be belted up. They were to have their shoes on, their staff in their hand, and they were to eat with diligence. They were to eat with purpose, for this was the Passover meal. Beloved, there is a reason why God instructed his people to dress accordingly, because God is about to instantaneously deliver them out of bondage into liberty. And that is a wonderful reminder for you and I that place our faith in Jesus Christ. The moment that we repent of our sin and invite Jesus Christ to be our Savior, instantly we are born again into the family of God. Salvation is not a process. Salvation is instantaneous. That's why God's people were to eat this roast dinner very late in the evening. They were to eat this roast dinner prepared, dressed, and ready to go. They were to eat it in haste, with diligence. And then we read on in verses 12 and 13 that God promised the Hebrews his divine protection. Impending judgment to come, God will spare his people that have blood applied to the doorposts of their home, that are partakers of this Passover meal. Note there in verses 12 and 13. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. Then note verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, will be the evidence on the exterior of your home. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. God promised the Hebrews, these Israelites, his protection. In his judgment, in accordance to his justice, in the death of the firstborn, God promised deliverance, a token of his love, for those that have the blood applied on the doorposts of their home. And God gave them a guarantee. He said, because I am the Lord. On the basis of all that I am the Lord. That protection that I promised is only for those, God said, that have the blood applied to the doorposts of their front door, their home. For it's in the blood that was shed and applied to that home. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The word pass over literally means to hover over. I will hover over you with my protection so that the plague of spiritual death, the plague of physical death, will not touch those within that home that have the blood applied to their doorposts. And God makes a distinction between those that are a part of God's family and those that are not a part of God's family. God promised protection for the Israelites. God promised judgment for the Egyptians. My Bible teaches me, he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. My friend, the outward evidence of inward life, of inward spiritual life, is illustrated for us in this Passover meal, where that blood on the outside of the home revealed faith within the home. See, God knows all. God sees all. God has the eternal bird's eye view. God knows whether you belong to him. God knows whether you are a spiritual Egyptian or whether you are truly a child of God. As 1 John chapter 3 verse 14 teaches us, we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. A mark of a genuine born-again Christian is that that Christian wants to be with other Christians. I get concerned for some of you. The only time I see you is on Sunday morning. I just wonder, do you really love the brethren? Because my Bible teaches me, he that has passed from death unto life, love the brethren. That tells me you want to be around God's people. And God's people don't just meet on Sunday morning. God's people meet on Sunday night. Say amen. God's people meet on Wednesday night. God's people go out soul winning together on Saturday. There's something seriously wrong when there are people that claim to be Christians and they have no time for God's people. They spend more time with unbelievers than God's people. My friend, that's a problem. Some of you have that problem. I'm concerned about some of you. Yes, I am. Now, I love you. I don't hate you. But I'm concerned about some of you. Because my Bible teaches me we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Some of you, I see very little evidence of wanting to spend time with God's people. There could be a problem. Could be a problem. See, God makes a distinction between those that are protected and those that will reap God's judgment. And God said to his people, if I see the blood, I will pass over you. The plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. My friend, God will judge. My friend, it's appointed unto the man once to die. God will judge. He's a just God. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And just like every Hebrew had to make a deliberate decision to select a lamb, to slay the lamb, to apply the lamb to the doorpost, to consume the lamb. And it was upon those individuals that gave the outward evidence of an inward faith, God's judgment passed over them. Prepared, packed, and ready to go. What about you? In verse number 14, we are told in closing, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. So here we have the ordaining of the first of seven Jewish festivals. And this feast was to be a memorial, God said. It was to be observed on an annual basis, a yearly remembrance of deliverance out of Egypt. God did not want them to forget from where they had come from and to where God has led them to. And my friend, to this very day, Passover is still celebrated by Jewish people all over the world. The first month of the Jewish year falls between mid-March and mid-April. That's why you'll find that Passover is usually around Easter time. And God said to his people, every year I want you to remember that deliverance that I provided for you. So Passover is still celebrated by Jewish people all over the world today. Now, not in exactly the same way as it was originally given. They're not applying blood to the doorpost of their home, to my knowledge. But the essence and purpose is still there. And it's been passed on from generation to generation. And the Bible teaches us that all that took place in that Passover meal is a picture of the Lamb of God to come. And that's why in 1 Corinthians 5:7 it reads that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And we as Bible-believing Christians do not practice Passover. But we love and respect Passover because of what it pictures. That the dear Lamb of God has come. And his body was broken and his blood was shed to provide forgiveness for you and I. And therefore you and I can say with confidence, I'm prepared, I'm packed, I'm ready to go. What about you? Do you have eternal life? Have you applied the blood to the doorposts of your life by faith? My friend, if you have yet to make that decision, I'd like to invite you this morning to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Because that death angel, listen to me carefully, that death angel is coming. It's coming your way. Oh, but Pastor, I've got years. I'm in good health. No, you do not. Your life is like a vapor. The death angel's coming. It's moving throughout humanity. For the wages of sin is death. Tomorrow might be too late, my friend. If there's no blood applied to your life by faith in Christ, judgment will fall. Be too late. And may that inspire you and I that have applied the blood to do our part in getting that gospel message out to those Egyptians outside the walls of this church that have the death angel, is in the distance and making its way through the land of the Egyptians. Let's close our service in prayer.